Hey folks, Dan Ferrier here with your market update for August 27th, 2024. So mortgage rates eased a little bit yesterday to start the day. They're probably going to go up. Why? Well, there's really not a lot of economic news out today that should be pushing rates up, but I want to talk about a Federal Reserve pivot. Okay, so what's happened over since Jackson Hole and what we're seeing today is the Federal Reserve is basically saying, okay, we tackled inflation. We tackled inflation, and now it's nothing but jobs, jobs, jobs. How do I know this? Well, it's in the Federal Chairman Powell's speech. I missed it. I watch these speeches multiple times. I usually read some of the transcripts. I missed this. And there was Illyrian right through here, Muhammad Illyrian. He's an economist, and I watch him meticulously. There's a lot of economists I follow, and he brought this up. And then there was an interview on CNBC just yesterday, and they brought it up as well. So this is really interesting, folks. I want you to pay attention to these two captions. And it's basically telling us when and where the Federal Reserve pivot. They pivoted from inflation fight to the jobs numbers. They usually should do, it's a dual mandate. They should be fighting both at the same time. But they're like, we don't really care about jobs right now. We're going to throw that out the door. We need to get the inflation rate. Remember when it hit 9% about a year and a half ago? It hit 9%. And they're like, okay, all the gloves are off. We are tackling inflation. Well, they basically called victory on that because we're now under 3%. So now it's going to be the jobs numbers. And there was a huge report out last Thursday, 816,000 jobs were removed from payroll that should have spiked up the unemployment numbers. But you really didn't hear much about that, but you're going to start hearing more and more about it now. So I would just want to show you right through here. Here's the economic news we have for today and this week. And it pivots right around with the Federal Reserve monitors. And especially right now that we know that they're pivoting to the jobs report. And I'm going to show you proof, several pieces of proof, that Federal Reserve did pivot and now is focusing on that. But let's get to the economic calendar that we have. Let's go to Tuesday, right through here. On Tuesday, what do we have? We have the Case-Shiller Index year over year and month over month came out. This is telling us what home prices are doing nationally. These are giving us the top 20 cities in the country. So the top 20 cities year over year, last reading, they were up 6.9%. Supposed to ease a little bit to 6.2. It actually came in at 6.5%. So home prices in the top 20 areas are still growing, and they're growing at the tick about 6% a year. Month over month, it's starting to cool down. Last reading was it was up 1% full, and now it's up 0.6%. So that's a month over month number that we have there. And then consumer confidence just did come out, and it's a little bit better than where we were, and a little bit much better than where we expected. So a lot of this focuses around the stock market. Stock market, cryptocurrencies, things like that, because as people see in their portfolios, increase in value, they get a little more comfortable. Okay, and then the rest of the week, we have some of the economic numbers that we really are focused in on, especially on Thursday. Why? Again, folks, it's the jobs report. We have continued jobs claims. They're coming in the morning, and then you have the PCE, the inflation numbers that the Federal Reserve truly monitors, and then we have the initial jobless claims coming out as well. So there's nothing but jobs data coming out. But I want you to show two captions to you to show you exactly to prove to you that the Federal Reserve pivoted from the dual mandate they had. Then they went to the inflation numbers. Now they're at the jobs report. So check out this video, and then I'm going to show you one more.
Inherent inconsistency in how the market has interpreted that speech.
So is it fair to think that part of this Powell pivot has been to a central bank that is more of a dual mandate central bank, or is it just that the single mandate, so to speak, has shifted from inflation to labor?
So certainly what they want is to shift from a single mandate that was focused on inflation being too high and we got to take it down to a dual mandate that has risks on either side. That's what they want. Where they've ended up because of the way they've communicated is that now we still think of the marketplace still think of the Fed as a single mandate, but we replaced higher inflation with higher unemployment. And that is critical, Morgan, because it means that the Fed is going to be incredibly dovish. And that's how the market has priced it.
So we've been seeing this softening labor market, and we've seen...
Okay, so that's that part of it. So that basically he was telling you, he actually gave you, in this whole interview, you can check it out, it's down through here, he said that there was three things that Powell said at the Jackson Hole meeting. And the last one was they're not going to accept any more deterioration in the jobs reports. So that was the moment where he pivoted. So let's get over to this report as well. This one is pretty intriguing as well because this guy backs it up as well as that. Here's what I try to do, folks. There's a lot of data out there for you guys to dissect. I try to pick the biggest pieces of the puzzles that would be most informative to you guys. And now, again, if you're out there looking to try to figure out when is the best time to lock your rate and things like that, I'm going to give you ideas on what to check out in the economic calendar so you'll know when is the time basically to lock in your rate. So let's get to this interview, and then when we come back, I'm going to put a lot of the things that he says in here. They talk about the dollar weakening. You know, a lot of you guys don't understand that part of it. I'll start trying to incorporate that in our videos. They said the neutral rate, you guys need to understand that and other things. So after the video, I'm going to take a few of the comments he made and show you the background of it on where, you know, like, for example, what is the neutral rate on the Federal Reserve? So let's get over to this. And then when we come back, I'm going to put a lot of this in terms that it's easier to understand. So take it away.
How important is this August employment report going to be as to whether it remains a possibility that we get 50 basis points?
I think that's really the key factor. We heard from Powell, we heard from the minutes that they will be cutting, but the decision about 25 versus 50 has been deferred to that report. We've now seen the unemployment rate come up enough that it's hard to sweep that under the rug. There's some ambiguity about both how many jobs are we creating every month and how many are we going to need to create going forward to keep up with labor supply growth now that immigration is slowing? So I think we'll learn quite a bit. Our assumption is that the August employment report will look better than the July report. Maybe some of those temporary layoffs in July come back so that the unemployment rate comes down. And job growth, we think, is trending closer to 150 than the 114 we saw last month. If that's right, then I feel pretty confident that the FOMC will go ahead with a 25 basis point cut. They're not thinking in terms of 50 just yet. But I think we heard very clearly from Chair Powell at Jackson Hole that their tolerance for further labor market softening has run out.
There
and
it
if
is.
I'm wrong and the August employment report is worse than we think, then I think a 50 basis point cut would be likely.
Interesting. And where does all this take us? You know, obviously, if you're right and we get 25 in September, November and December, and then next year, I guess we get a few more. Where's the terminal rate fall to?
We have the terminal rate at 3.25 to 3.5. Part of the reason for that is, you know, we've long had a view that neutral is not quite as low as where people thought last cycle. I think that the market has reassessed neutral upward, and I suspect that the Fed is going to reassess neutral higher as well. It's already come up in its dot plot from 2.5 to 2.75, but I think they'll have a discussion over the coming year and wind up a little bit higher. I would also say monetary policy is not the only thing that affects the strength of the economy. Last cycle, we were grappling with these post-financial crisis headwinds that restrained demand. Now we have a very easy fiscal stance and very resilient risk sentiment, and those things have offset and diluted the impact of higher rates so that whatever the Fed concludes long-run neutral is, I think it will wind up feeling comfortable leaving the funds rate a touch higher than that, knowing that we can still operate at full employment because we have these other forces boosting demand.
Other forces. And David, on that point, what do you make of the move in the dollar, which I believe now is at a two-year low? What does that tell you about what the Fed will do? And does that level of weakness make sense given what we're expecting in September?
I think while we're forecasting 25 basis point cuts, the market is completely justified in attaching some probability to larger cuts. I think the message that we heard from Chair Powell at Jackson Hole is that they are not going to be held back by inflation anxiety anymore, and that their tolerance for weakening in the labor market data has now run out, so that if we do see any further signs of softness, they probably would go ahead with a 50 basis point cut. So, as that message has come through more and more clearly, as we've gotten some further signs of soft points in the labor market, you know, while my baseline is that everything will be fine, I think there is a plausible risk that the Fed might have to go a little more quickly. I think the market is justified in pricing that. That's probably driven the downward move in rates that we've seen and the dollar moves on the back of that.
David, do you think that we might get the full 100 basis points by December that most market participants are pricing in without the economy getting meaningfully worse? Is it either or could you get the perfect Goldilocks scenario?
I think probably not. I think you do need at least some sign of further softness in the labor market data for the Fed to deliver a 50 basis point cut. Historically, when the Fed has moved more quickly than 25 basis points, when they've done intermediate cuts or, say, 50 or 75 basis point cuts, usually there has been some obvious crisis going on. And in the other scenarios where there hasn't been a crisis, jobless claims have been running closer to 400,000 than to 200,000, so that there was a sense of urgency that I don't think quite exists at the moment. So I doubt that we'll get the full 100. My guess would be that we get a series of 25s unless we get some further data that really makes them at least a bit more concerned.
I'm right on the bandwagon with this guy. So the issue I have is the jobs numbers are all over the map. So one number might come in really robust and then another one bad. Think of just what happened a couple weeks ago when the jobs report came out and it was kind of bad. The markets went crazy. So one number doesn't really make it. But you just heard it from two really high-profile people that the Federal Reserve now is focused more on the jobs numbers. So if you're looking to when you should lock in your rates and so forth, well, we have that number coming in on Thursday morning. So Wednesday, you might want to look to lock. So if you're working with us, call in, let us know, if you're not locked or not. We can go over the rates with you guys and lock you guys in. So that's what we're seeing right through there. The bond market right now is down 8 ticks, meaning, man, there's really nothing going to happen today, folks, in mortgage rates. So these are probably stay pretty darn steady today. Now, the report that just came out right through here, this is going to drive some people nuts, especially those that just, all their whole profile is just crash, 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 crash. So these are the people I'm trying to help educate, because it's not just, a real estate. You got to have, you got to start creating wealth for you and your family. A home is a way to start that. Maybe putting some money, if you're starting a new job, maybe make sure you're taking advantage of your 401k. Is your company matching 3%, 4%, 5%? That's an actual return that you're getting. So please, the whole goal of this channel is to help you guys understand wealth management and how real estate can play a role in that. So right through here, here's what we're seeing. The top 20 cities in the country right now are experiencing a 0.4 increase in home prices month over month. And so it's the home prices are still moving. So let's go through this. Home prices in the 20 major U.S. cities over the past year up 6.5%. That's a deceleration from the 6.9 that we saw. So yes, it is starting to come down a little bit. A broader measure is the national index, which is up 0.2%, 5.4% over the year. So you see that through here. Some of the biggest winners and losers: New York. And New York's the biggest gainer, up 9%. Home prices grew slowest in Portland at 0.8%. A separate report from the Federal Home Finance also showed home prices were down 0.1 in June when compared to the previous month, but up 5.4 for the year. So nothing really here telling us that the markets are going to completely crash. If you haven't checked out, we have Altos Research on. Usually we try to get them on quarterly to tell us what's going on with real estate values. Check out that video up through here. We had Mike on, giving us a huge in-depth look at real estate values, and is a crash on the horizon. Check out that video. Don't miss that. And then when they were starting to talk, what is net neutral and things like that, when the analyst was talking during those interviews, he mentioned a few things of net neutral and things like that. Here's what I want you guys to understand. How much room does the Federal Reserve have to cut? And how do they determine that number? Okay, so it's kind of simple. What you do is you take the federal funds rate, which is right through here, and currently it's at 5.25 to 5.5. It's actually at 5.33. You subtract out the inflation rate, and whatever the remaining number, if it's a positive, well, that means the Federal Reserve has that much room to cut. Let me show you the numbers. Right through here, what I put in here is I said, what's the difference between today's inflation numbers minus the federal funds rate? So it pulls up and it says, well, the federal funds rate is 5.33. The inflation rate is 3.2. It depends on which data you pull in. I'll take that. So it means there's a spread of 2.13%. So it means the Federal Reserve has 2.13% ability to cut in rates. So if we go back to that, here's where we are. Here's the federal funds chart, okay, on the CME FedWatch tool. Let me get my head out of the way. And so basically it's saying that they can cut down to 2.1%. So if we're at 5.3 right now, or 5.say, you can go down, we're going to be all the way down into this range right here. So do I see that? I'm not going that far out, folks. I'm just going to say in the next two or three meetings this year, as long as the data is, you know, is there, they're going to cut a quarter, a quarter, a quarter. What they're not going to do, unless they really have to, is come in and shock the market by either a half or three quarters of a percent cut, because that's going to basically, even these economists said, that's going to shock the market, saying, okay, do you guys know something more than we don't know that's majorly wrong? Why are you making such a big cut? So I think the Federal Reserve is going to hold back on that. So I'm calling for 25 basis point cuts for the next one or two meetings, and then completely data dependent. But that is a good trajectory that we're looking for through that. So that's the report for today, guys. Sorry it was a little bit long. I want you guys to completely understand this before, you know, if you buy a house, it's going to be the biggest asset you ever have, but it's also going to be the biggest debt you ever have. So if you want my, you know, if you want to reach out to me, you're like, hey, Dan, what do you do? Who are you? Well, I'm actually a loan officer. I help people with mortgages, and I work at ServBank. And I'm the nice thing about working at ServBank, I'm federally licensed, meaning I'm all over the country. No matter where you live, you can reach out to me and I can assist you. And even in Puerto Rico, we help you there as well. So how do you reach out, or how do you find us? Well, go to therateupdate.com. The one thing, if you're looking to try to buy that first house, your first home, check and see if there's any grants up there that can help you out. It's the grant finder right through there. It's a national grant, as well as grants for in the Chicagoland area. But if you want to get the ball rolling to say, you know, can I qualify, or maybe can I refinance and save some money, just click the apply now button. Or what you could do is just scroll down to the bottom here, and you can reach out to us directly. How do you do that? Well, you can give us a call at 844-775-5626, or you can email me directly. Yes, it's me, at dan@therateupdate.com. So thanks so much for watching, guys. God bless. Have a fantastic afternoon. I'll be back at the closing bell to show you guys if anything changed for the day. So take care. Look forward to hearing from you if you're out there looking to buy a house, refinance a house, or just need some help. Take care.